From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans as he brings the next portion of a message called Gloriously Secure Amid the Storms of Life, part of his exposition of Romans chapter 8. Paul began the chapter by stating the believer's position in Christ, as he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." He then proceeded to demonstrate the truth of this statement by a number of arguments. He emphasized the believer's justification, his sanctification, and his adoption. And Paul's final argument is the Christian's glorification. The ultimate destination for every believer in Jesus Christ is heaven. This gives the child of God much assurance, particularly in times of suffering. Times of difficulty in a believer's life sometimes can cause doubts to arise. However, we are to look at our circumstances in the light of our faith, not the other way around. God does not use suffering to punish us, but to prepare us for heaven. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctification begins in regeneration. The Spirit of God infuses into man that new living principle by which he becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. This work, which begins in the new birth, is carried on in two ways. Mortification, whereby the lusts of the flesh are subdued and kept under, and vivification, by which the life which God has put within us is made to be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. This is carried on every day in what is called perseverance, by which the Christian is preserved and continued in a gracious state, and is made to abound in good works unto the praise and glory of God, and it culminates, or comes to perfection, in glory, when the soul, being thoroughly purged, is caught up to dwell with holy beings at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But while the Spirit of God is thus the author of sanctification, yet there is a visible agency employed which must not be forgotten. Sanctify them, said Jesus, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The passages of Scripture which prove that the instrument of our sanctification is the Word of God are very many. The Spirit of God brings to our minds the precepts and doctrines of truth, and applies them with power. These are heard in the ear, and being received in the heart, they work in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. The truth is the sanctifier, and if we do not hear or read the truth, we shall not grow in sanctification. We only progress in sound living as we progress in sound understanding. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Do not say of any error, it is a mere matter of opinion. No man indulges an error of judgment without sooner or later tolerating an error in practice. Hold fast the truth, for by so holding the truth shall you be sanctified by the Spirit of God.
Please go home by the way.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may simply call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Supplies are limited, so request yours right away. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. Remember for the child of God suffering at its very worst. While it may represent the hatred of hell and the opposition of the devil, suffering at its very worst is never more than the hand of a loving Father in heaven, purifying us, but more than that, preparing us for eternal glory. So they're not penal sufferings. Furthermore, the suffering of the child of God is inconsiderable in comparison to the glory that is to come. Now, let me back off here for a moment and say it's very easy for me to say that. In all the years that I have lived, I have not suffered too much physical ailment. I have had some pain, and I don't like it any more than you do. But, as an eye doctor told me the other day, telling me what was going wrong in one place, he said, they're disgustingly healthy. So, I realize it's easy for me to talk. I've known people who've lived all their lives with intense physical pain. I've often mentioned to you the young man that I met in my father's veterans hospital ward, the outskirts of Belfast. Not a young man anymore, actually. He was in his 70s by this time. But as a very young man, a Norwegian who could speak no English, wrecked in a burning ship off the coast of Britain, was taken to hospital in Belfast and lay there from the age of 20-something years, all those years, and couldn't move anything from his head down. A Christian man. So it's easy for me to say, you know, the sufferings of this life are inconsiderable compared to heaven. But I don't say it glibly. But it is true. It is true. Paul, and I think this is the mercy of God, he puts this in the writing of the apostle who suffered more than all the rest, who knew physical pain and agony, who had been brought to shipwreck and death on various occasions. He knew it all. And it wasn't that he didn't feel the sufferings, but what it was, he saw the glory before him. He had such a vision and a certainty of the glory that he says, in the light of the glory that lies before me, all that I have suffered, it's not worthy to be compared. And then he said, remember this, it's the common lot of the whole creation. The entire creation groans. The entire creation, verse 19 and 20, fell under the curse of the fall. The whole creation is falling apart. The whole creation is groaning. But you know, when you look at verses 21 to 23, it shall be delivered. As John Calvin pointed out when he commented on those verses, the pains of the creation are birth pangs. They are not death pains. And that's the truth about all the sufferings of the people of God. The whole creation is not only groaning, but it's going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans. It travails in pain. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we're groaning too. And we can all identify with that. We're groaning too. But remember, the groanings of the people of God and the pains of the people of God are not death throes. They are birth pangs. We are waiting for the full adoption. We have been adopted. But you see, as I pointed out last week, this is really the Roman law of adoption Paul is working upon. That adoption was in stages. We are in the first stage. We have been adopted. but we have not yet come to full manhood, as it were, and entered into the full glory. That is what awaits us. Now we have, however, received the first fruits of the Spirit. What does that mean? The first fruits is the pledge of a full harvest to follow. The first fruit of the Spirit is the beginning of the working of the Holy Spirit. He is the earnest of our inheritance. He is the guarantee of glory. He is the down payment. And God is not going to fail to follow through in the full payment. That's why we can say in verse 24, we are saved, and I think it is better to say we are saved in hope. Actually, there's something we should not miss here. The Greek text has the definite article, we are saved in the hope. That's what he's saying. We are saved in the hope. What hope? The blessed, glorious hope of the gospel. We are saved in the hope. What does he mean by that? I think he's saying something we can all recognize very simply. When we received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we knew we're instantaneously saved. But we also knew that we wouldn't immediately enter into the full and final provision of all that's in Christ. We did not think as soon as we received Him that we would be taken off to heaven, did we? No, we didn't. That still lies in the future. We haven't seen it yet, but we have received the promise. And so in the midst of all the afflictions, remember the pains of life don't call in question the hope that we have in Christ. Rather, the suffering quickens our desire for glory, as verse 25 tells us, that we wait with patience for that revelation and that fulfillment of our hope. Now, in the meantime, while we're waiting, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Now here are two things that sustain us. We're sustained by the hope. I hope you understand this now. Get it into your mind. Never forget it. When a person loses hope, he can't live. That's what leads to suicide. Lost all hope. When a person gets deep down in depression, always there is an obscuring or a losing of the hope. So hope sustains us. And it is the hope. It's not, and hope in Scripture is not vainly wringing your hands saying, oh, I really wish that it would come to pass. No, no. Hope in Scripture is objective. It is everything that God has promised us in Christ. And it is as certain as the throne of God. And hoping for it means we are waiting patiently for God to do what He said He's going to do. And knowing that He'll do it at the right time and in absolutely the right way. We're sustained by hope. Christian, above all people on God's earth, never lose hope. You may not have much hope in yourself. You may look at yourself and say, who am I, what am I? Well, do that, and then forget it. Get your eyes on Christ. Get your eyes on Him. I was trying this morning, and I admit it very feebly, but I trust that we'll get through somewhat. Trying this morning to show you the absolute immensity of the action of God in giving His Son to be God manifested in the flesh. Now, when you realize what God has done, we'll take this up in just a moment, but when you realize what God has done, you should never lose hope. Oh, you have no strength. You have no ability. You have nothing. You are nothing. You're a worm. You're going to fail. You have failed. You can heap guilt in yourself. You can throw up your hands and say, what hope is there for me? Listen. We are saved. We were saved. The tense actually is we were saved in the hope. In the certainty, the expectation of entire glorification. God's not going to fail. That sustains us. But then there's something else that sustains us. That's the help that the Holy Ghost exercises within us. And this word helpeth, the Holy Ghost helpeth our infirmities. It's a fascinating word. It's made up of three parts. Two prefixes, one that means with, and the other that means, in this case I believe, facing, or over against us. And the other just means helping, carrying, taking. So something of that nature. It's a beautiful picture. It's the word that Martha used in Luke chapter 10 verse 40, for example. When she was cumbered with much serving, she turned to the Lord and she said, "Bid my sister to help me." And this is the word. If my memory's right, these are the only two places where this particular word appears. Bid my sister to help me. One great authority in the Greek text says it's a word picture. The Holy Spirit lays hold of our weaknesses along with us and carries his part of the burden facing us as if two men were carrying a log, one at each end. Now that's the picture of the word. You've got two men carrying, you can't carry that, and one comes and takes the end and says, I'll carry it with you. That's the picture in the word. But it's not the whole truth of what Paul is saying. Paul's going away beyond that. You see, a word is only a word. It's just a picture. But the context will tell you he means a whole lot more than that. The Holy Spirit doesn't say to you, now you do your part, you carry your part of that burden, you do it all, and I will do my part. He's not saying I'm the other person at the end of the log. Oh, he will help you to carry it, but he does so by helping your weakness. He does so by infusing strength into you to enable you to do what you could never do. He comes along, and by his own indwelling and power, he imparts to you the grace, the strength mentally, emotionally, physically, to do what you could never otherwise do. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And I want you to know that. The infirmities, they are actual weaknesses. We have burdens that we cannot bear. Our strength fails us. We feel like giving up. The Holy Spirit comes and he helps us by strengthening us when we have no strength, empowering us when we have nothing but weakness, carrying our burdens with us. And he does it especially in the place of prayer. Now let me make this clear to you. If you ever want to know the help of the Spirit, you're going to get the help of the Spirit in the use of the means of grace. First of all, there is the Word. Obviously, we are studying the Word tonight. That's where you learn of the Spirit. Christians who neglect the Bible are going to be feeling weak and desperate. Christians who simply shallowly read over the word of Scripture, but they are not taking the time. Oh, we don't have time. Come off it. You've time to watch a football game. Right? Time to go shopping. Right? Time to go and make another bit of money. Sure. But no time for God's word. That's like a man who's starving to death saying, I have no time to eat. And that word will lead you to pray. And may I suggest it is because of the abject weakness of the prayer lives of God's people that they have abject weakness in other places.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.